हरे कृष्णा। सो बलराम जयंती इज द ओकेजन वेयर बलराम जी अपियर्ड थाउजेंड्स ऑफ इयर्स अगो एंड ही अपियर्ड जस्ट बिफोर कृष्णा। नाउ ऑल ओवर द वर्ल्ड देर आर पीपल, एम आई ऑडिबल टू एवरीवन बिहाइंड? नो, ओके। हरे कृष्णा, इज इट बेटर नाउ और स्टिल नॉट हिट ऑडिबल? हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इज इट बेटर नाउ? Okay. So, all over the world, there are people who believe in God, and they direct their belief in God, direct their devotion to God, in accordance with whatever conception of God they acquire from their culture or their tradition. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, a prominent Vaishnava Acharya in our line, he explains that the same one absolute truth, he reveals himself in different ways at different places. And there can be some difference in message of the Lord depending on the context, depending on the culture, depending on the audience. But essentially, there is one absolute truth. And that absolute truth has revealed himself in various ways at different places. But how much we can become attracted to the absolute truth, how much we can become devoted to the absolute truth, a major factor in determining that is how much we know about that person. Knowledge about God alone doesn't bring about devotion to God. There can be academic scholars who have done a PhD in Krishna and they may not even believe that Krishna existed. Or they may believe that Krishna just existed and he was a person and he was not God. So knowledge alone doesn't engender devotion. But knowledge is helpful in practicing the process that engenders devotion. So knowledge is not the way, but knowledge inspires us to go along the way. Knowledge is not the way, but knowledge inspires us to go along the way. And as far as knowledge is concerned, there is enormous knowledge about God that is given in the bhakti tradition of ancient India. So, Srila Prabhupada would often say that, that actually if you want to know God, if you want to have a concrete conception of God, here there is a concrete conception. There is Krishna. And we have what he looks like, what he does, who he is with, what his likes are. There is such clear, concrete knowledge. And when Srila Prabhupada was once in America, at that time, some Christian priest came to him. And Prabhupada was saying, this is one God who is revealed in various traditions. So, they said that, but if Krishna is the same one God whom Jesus talked about, then why did Jesus not talk about that? So Prabhupada said that, Jesus himself has actually said that there's much that I have to tell, but you are not the ears to hear. Prabhupada was even more strong at times. He said, actually, he just told, repeated, thou shall not kill, and he himself was killed for that. So how much could he reveal in that situation? But the important point is, the point here is not to denigrate any religion. The point is to highlight a principle. The principle is, if you are interested in knowing God, then wherever knowledge of God is available, take that and benefit yourself. Suppose, say a student studies in some engineering college in India, computer science. And then after that, they come to know about, let's say in America, there's MIT, Massachusetts. And that is the top premier college in the world for computer science. Now, will that student say that, no, I will study computer science only in my college. I will not go to any other college. If a student starts saying like that, then actually the question will come, are you interested in knowledge or are you interested in college? So, are we interested in religion or are we interested in God? No. Religion is meant for God. God is not meant for religion. Religion is meant to help us to go closer to God. So wherever we can get deeper knowledge about God, we can take that knowledge and enrich ourselves. So in the bhakti tradition, not only is there knowledge about God, but there is knowledge about God's family. And so God is not alone. God is supreme, and supreme means there is one supreme person. But he is not alone. He is with his whole family. And one of his closest associates is his brother. So God has a consort also. And we'll discuss more about that in our later classes when we come closer to Janmashtami. Here we focus on this principle that God has a full family. The Bhagavad Gita tells that this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. Urdhva moolam adha shakam ashvattham prahuravayam. Chandamsi asya paranani yastam veda saveda. 15.1 it says that this world is like upside down banyan tree. So we see an upside down tree where there is a reflection of a tree in water. So there's a real tree. So whatever relationships we see in this world, those relationships are there in God. And they are there in a purity and perfection. So God has his brother, and Krishna and Balaram are the divine. They are two divine brothers. You know, when they would go around fighting, you know, they would be each of them was unmatched. But when the two of them would come together, you know, they were the awesome twosome. You know, nobody could match them. So now Balaram, his name signifies his position. So I'll talk about this class in three parts. First, I'll talk briefly about the position of Balaram. Then I'll talk about one or two pastimes of Balaram, and then we'll conclude about with some prayers of what kind of prayers we can offer to Balaram. So Balaram, the word Balaram means Bala and Ram. It has two aspects to it. So Bala is strength and Rama is pleasure. So Balaram refers to that person who gives us the strength to find pleasure. He is the person who gives us the strength to find pleasure. Now what does it mean, the strength to find pleasure? You know, if say there's a delicious food somewhere, I can just go and eat it. I don't need strength to find that pleasure. But what it means is that strength to find pleasure means that pleasure is not found in this world where it appears to be. This world promises us so much pleasure, but all those pleasures are temporary. They are mrigatrish nirupa. They are like mirages, Prahlad Maharaj says. And they promise a lot of pleasure, but they deliver very little. And yet, it is very difficult to resist the lure of pleasure. Now, there are people who are alcoholics, and they don't want to be alcoholics. So there are medicines or drugs, you could say, which people take, you know, after they take that drug and after that they take alcohol, they fall sick because of that. So they try to take that drug in order to avoid taking alcohol. Because if they take that drug and then they take alcohol, then they will vomit and they will have a lot of problems. But in spite of that, in spite of taking that drug, still they are compulsively dragged to take alcohol. So what is happening here, you know, they don't have the strength to resist the lure of pleasure. So when we say the strength to find pleasure, that means we have to know where real pleasure exists and where there is a trap in the name of pleasure. And then to move from illusory pleasure to real pleasure, that requires strength. And that strength is provided by Balaramji. So his role is to give us the strength to resist the pleasures of this world, and the strength to persevere in seeking the pleasure of bhakti. So, in bhakti there is pleasure, but we need to persevere. We don't get it immediately. Yattad agre visham iva pariname amrutopavam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that higher pleasures, they taste like poison in the beginning, but they taste like nectar in the end. So, we have to persevere through the poison till we can get to the nectar. And that requires strength. So Balaram is that divine person who gives us the strength to find real pleasure. And in this role, he
he acts as the Adi Guru. He is the original spiritual master. The spiritual master spiritual master's primary purpose is to help us to find real happiness in life. Srila Prabhupada was once giving a lecture on Rath Yatra in America, second Rath Yatra in 1969. And in the initial days, most of the followers, people who came to Prabhupada were hippies. So Prabhupada said that, you hippies, you are not very much appreciated in America. No, you are called as frustrated people. But Prabhupada said, I appreciate you. He said, human life is meant to be frustrated. Human life is meant to be frustrated. Why? He says, when we become frustrated in our search for happiness, then we will search for higher happiness. Then we will come to Athato Brahma Jignyasa. So then we'll inquire about spiritual truth. So no Acharya before has explained Athato Brahma Jignyasa as meaning your human life is meant to be frustrated. But this was Prabhupada's contemporary presentation of Shastra. So he said, it's when we become, when our attempts for pleasure in the, so the spiritual master is meant to guide us when we become thwarted in our search for pleasure, to guide us towards where real pleasure exists. And Balramji plays that role. So we have many spiritual masters in our life. We have one Diksha Guru, but we have many other gurus. And they are all manifesting the mercy of Balramji. It is by his mercy. Am I audible behind? Is the voice lost? Okay. It is by his mercy that the spiritual masters that we have, they guide us. Namah Krishna, there is a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita 4.34, Tadvidhi Pranipatena, Parikrishnena Sevaya, Upadekshanti Te Jnanam, Jnaninas Tattva Darshinaha. So the significant point here is, the Bhagavad Gita is using plural, Tattva Darshinaha, not one Tattva Darshinaha. So there are many spiritual masters. So one spiritual master will be the initiating spiritual master, but we learn from many, many, many spiritual teachers. And they all are giving us knowledge by the grace of Balaram. So now, Balaramji plays this role in this world. He plays the role of being the guru, being the spiritual master. In Krishna Leela, he plays another role. The Krishna Leela is comprised of devotees who are already elevated. So they are already liberated, they are already purified. So there, he doesn't have to play this role. So he plays the role of the assistant of Krishna. And he assists Krishna in various ways. So he assists, he becomes the Sheshanag, the bed of Krishna. He becomes the dham. The whole dham, Vrindavan, is manifested by Krishna's energy. And in this way, he assists Krishna. I will focus on one specific way in which he assists Krishna. This is described in the book Gopal Champu, written by Srila Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami is known as the Siddhanta Acharya of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Our tradition is the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. And in this, the Siddhanta was systematically explained and established based on Shastra by Jiva Goswami. So, he wrote a book named Gopal Champu, which is a expanded retelling of the 10th canto. So, it's not a verse-by-verse commentary, but he takes the basic storyline of the 10th canto and he expands it based on various Shastras and based on his own revelations. So, there he describes how Balaramji helps Krishna remember Vrindavan outside of Vrindavan. So, I'll talk this briefly and I'll talk this more in future classes also. So, Krishna and Balaram, if you see, especially Krishna's, their life is very adventurous. Right from when child is born, there is the whole conspiracy to murder the child. The child is whisked away at night and he goes to a distant place and stays. And while he is staying there, there are various assassins who are sent to try to assassinate him and he survives. And eventually, Krishna and Balaram are told to come to Mathura. Kamsa decides that I am not able to, my men are not able to get him in Vrindavan, so I'll get him to my territory. And my territory, my men will get him. That's his plan. Now when Akrura comes to take Krishna, Nanda Maharaj doesn't know that Krishna is not his son. Nanda Maharaj actually thinks Krishna is my son only. And when Gargamuni comes, and Gargamuni has to do the Namakaran, so then the questions may rise because of that. Okay, why is Gargamuni the Acharya of the Yadus? Why is he doing this Namakaran of this child? So Gargamuni is a Brahmana. He doesn't want to speak lies, but at the same time he doesn't want to speak the truth. Why? Because multiple reasons. One is he doesn't want to raise the suspicion of Kamsa that Krishna might be the son of Vasudeva, and also there is such intense love that Nanda Maharaj has for Krishna that Gargamuni doesn't have the heart. So what he does is, he tells that in a previous life, your son was the son of Vasudeva. And he says, your son is almost like Narayan. So he doesn't say he's Narayan, he's almost like Narayan. So when Akrura comes and he tells Krishna that you are actually the son of Vasudeva and you should come back and help Vasudeva. So Nanda Maharaj does not accept it. And then still, because it's Kamsa's order, they all go there. And at this point, you know, we may often think of Krishna as God who went and effortlessly killed Kamsa. But if you consider it from the Leela perspective, Krishna is just a small child, you know, barely 10 years old. And at the age of 10, he just has to leave his parents, leave those whom he has throughout his life thought of as his parents, and he has to go to somebody else whom he has to accept as parents. You know, sometimes say, some parents may give up a child when he's at the birth for adoption to someone else. And then the child is growing there at adoption for maybe 10 years, and then suddenly the parents come and claim custody rights. You know, it is very disruptive. So for Krishna, it is like that. He has this intriguing two aspects. You know, he exhibits superhuman strength when he kills demons like Kamsa. But then, after Kamsa is killed, then there are Vidruta and other elders, they tell that Krishna, you should stay with us, you are a Yadu. And you should stay with us, and there are other enemies also who are there, and you have to protect them. So now, Krishna somehow persuades Nanda Maharaj. And it's a very sweet, moving conversation. Nanda Maharaj says that, and Krishna tells that, based on that prophecy, he said that the eighth child of Krishna, of Devaki, that will kill Kamsa. Based on that prophecy, they are claiming that I am their son. So, Nanda Maharaj says, he starts crying. And then he says, anyway, it is our fortune that great people are claiming our son to be their son. So he says that if you are going to stay here, Krishna, then I will also stay here. We will stay outside Mathura and we will have our house here. Krishna says, but you know, what will Mother Yashoda do? He says, she will also come here, she will stay here and we will see you every day, even if you are not in our house. And Krishna says, but we are all the servants of the cows. And now you have so many cows. They need grazing place. They need a pasture. And around Mathura, it will not be able to provide a pasture for the cows. So, how can we put the cows into trouble for our sake? We are the servants of the cows. Therefore, please go back. And Nanda Maharaj says, actually, Krishna, the cows will not be able to live without you. So Krishna says, yes, I have thought about it, I know. So I will give my dress, my garlands and my ornaments to Subala. And Subala looks just like me. And when the cows smell the fragrance of my body from my dress, they will think that this is Krishna. And that's how they will be pacified. So then finally, tearfully, Nanda Maharaj departs. And as Nanda Maharaj departs, Krishna has no one with him. All the people he loved from his childhood, not only is he away from them, but he has to maintain his composure so that Nanda Maharaj doesn't break down, so the Gopas don't break down. But you know, he has a heart and his heart is also breaking. So at that time, he has no one to turn to except Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram fall into each other's arms and they cry bitterly. Cry in separation from Vrindavan. Longing to be back there, but just not able to go back. There is a call of the heart and there is a call of the call of duty. And these two are pulling them in two different directions. And Balaram consoles Krishna. Says, Krishna, you have to do your duty. Duty calls and please steel yourself. Please steel yourself and do whatever is required. And Krishna, with his head on the shoulder of Balaram, he cries and cries till all the tears dry up. And then he tearfully goes back to the house of Vasudeva and Devaki. And as he's staying there, his heart is constantly remembering Vrindavan, longing for Vrindavan. And the primary solace that he gets is by talking with Balaram about Vrindavan, remembering Vrindavan. And Vasudeva observes this. Now, every parent wants their children to be happy. So he sees that Krishna is not happy here. And he thinks, what to do? So, and for Krishna, he's just a 10-year-old child. And for a child, the closest relationship is with the mother. And now, Vasudeva observes that Krishna is not able to properly even address Devaki as his mother. Now, from a 10-year-old child's perspective, you take him suddenly from one house to another house and tell him, this is your mother. Now, what can the child... mother is not just a name. There's a relationship, there's affection. And Krishna is not able to call out. Now, Vasudeva thinks, maybe I can take Krishna back to Vrindavan for some days. And Krishna will be a little happy. But then, all the Yadus, they say, no, if you take Krishna there, he will never come back. I don't know what those Vrajavasis have done to our Krishna. Oh, probably they have fed him butter and because of that, you know, he's become mad for Vrindavan. So if we are to get Krishna back, the only way is that we should cut off all contact with Vrindavan. Cut off all contact. Now initially when Nanda Maharaj and Krishna depart, Krishna separate, at that time Nanda Maharaj says, I'll keep sending messengers to know how you're doing. So, but what the Yadus do is, their intention is that Krishna should be happy with us. And they feel if the memories of the past keep coming, then Krishna will not be happy with us. So even when the messengers of Vrindavan come, they try to bring various pretexts and they don't let the messengers meet Krishna also. Of course, Krishna secretly keeps sending some messages, some gifts. But overall, the connection becomes very less. And Nanda Maharaj says that I will come. You know, I'll come regularly. And Krishna says, no, you cannot come here. Maharaj says, what is this? How will I live if I don't come here? Why can I not come here? Krishna tells that I am staying here to protect the Yadus from their enemies. Now, the enemies of the Yadus have become my enemies. And they will become the enemies of all those who are connected with me. So if they think that you Vrajavasis are very close to me, then in order to take revenge against me, they will attack you. And if I am in Mathura, I cannot protect Vrindavan. So therefore, we should make it appear to the world that actually there was no affection between me and you. I just stayed at your place for some time, and now that I have come back, I have forgotten you. So, this is the predicament because of which the Vrajavasis, we hear there is so much in separation from Krishna, but they could just have gone, it was just a few hours to go to Mathura, but they couldn't go. They couldn't go because that would have endangered them, and Krishna did not want that. So, Krishna was completely disconnected from all the Vrajavasis. And at that time, Balaramji thought, what to do? And he thought, somehow I have to allay Krishna's suffering. And then for Balaramji, he was also not much older than Krishna. So, he was also a child. But still, he was trying to take the role of elder brother and solace his younger brother. And then when Vasudeva saw both these brothers so morose, that time he got the idea. He said, I cannot get the person, the woman whom Krishna thinks to be his mother, that is Yashoda. But Krishna has been there in Vrindavan even with Rohini. So, and Rohini is Balaram's mother. So I will call Rohini back. If I call Rohini back, then Krishna will at least have some maternal figure whom he knows from childhood, from infancy. And maybe Krishna will be happier there. And then, he sends a message, please send Rohini back soon. And then when Rohini gets that message, Yashoda is also waiting, is Krishna going to come back? Is there any message for Krishna? There's no sign of Krishna coming back, no message from Krishna. And Rohini says, Rohini, please come back. So at that time, Rohini says, how can I go without you, Yashoda? We are like one soul in two bodies. Yashoda says, yes, and that is why you should go. That is why you should go. So he says, when you go to Mathura and you embrace, you hug Krishna, you put him on his lap, you feed him, it is as if I will be hugging him. I will be feeding him. I will be keeping him on my lap. And this way I will get some solace. And thus, Yashoda sends Balaram back. So, yeah, Balaram's mother back. And Rohini, when she comes back, Krishna, the two sons, they treated both mothers like their own mother. But still, for Krishna, Yashoda was his mother. And for Balaram, Rohini was his mother. So, Krishna was delighted to see Rohini. But Balaram was even more delighted. And then Balaram told how much Krishna is suffering in separation from Vrindavan. How much Krishna is tormented day and night with thoughts of Vrindavan. He is here, he is doing his duties. But still, he is in agony in separation from Vrindavan. And at that time, Rohini thought, maybe I can do something. See, the problem is that Krishna is not just torn between two families, but he is torn between two families who are somewhat hostile to each other. So, if I can decrease the hostility was because of love for Krishna only. The hostility was not because of any negativity. It was just because of both loved Krishna, and the Vrajavasis wanted Krishna in Vrindavan, and the Mathuravasis wanted Krishna in Mathura. And because of that, there was this problem. In a perverted sense, sometimes there's a problem in this world when, say, a couple separates and they have a child and there's a custody battle for the child. Both the husband and wife want possession of the child, and then the poor child is torn in between. So, at least for the child's sake, if the couple maintain some congenial relationship, that's better. So, Rohini thought that, what I'll do is, I'll try to act as a mediator. And I will try to tell the Mathuravasis how much the Vrajavasis love Krishna and how much Krishna loves the Vrajavasis. And when they, ultimately their concern is also for Krishna. So, he starts speaking about the Vrajavasis. And when he starts speaking about the glories of the Vrajavasis, at that time the Mathuravasis, they get irritated. They say, oh Rohini, we thought you were in our party, but it seems you are in their party.
So the Rohini becomes totally disheartened. And she realizes that she is not going to be able to. She goes and tells Balram. And Balram says that, yes, I think this is a test. This is. And then they start thinking what to do. Then at that time, Krishna, he decides, Vasudeva sees that Krishna is still very morose. Krishna is not really very happy. They thought, well, suppose a child is very sad or morose, then what do? Parents try to provide some engagement for the child. Now, maybe take, if the child is very sad at one place, send the child to some other place. So, Vasudeva thinks that I can do two things at one go. He says that actually, Krishna has always been Vrindavan and now he's come to a city, which is Mathura. So it is not that in the past everything was only rural. Sometimes bhakti, you know, people think that we have to go to a very simple rural village and we have to live. Yes, Varanashram is nice. But even in the past, there were Vrindavan was a rural place and Mathura was an urban place. So he thought maybe if I send Krishna to a little bit of a rural setting, then maybe Krishna will be a little happier. So he decided that I'll send Krishna to a Gurukul. Now, when he decides to send Krishna to a Gurukul, he decides to send him far away from Vrindavan. So, Vrindavan and Mathura are so close, and almost, you know, Yadus, every morning when they wake up, they would go to Krishna's room and they see, is Krishna there today or not? Or, has Krishna run away at night, back to Vrindavan? Because they feel, they can see Krishna is longing for Vrindavan. And by longing, because of longing for Vrindavan, they are always fearful. So, they decide that, maybe we can send Krishna far away somewhere to Gurukul. And as practically from one end of the country, they decide to send him to the other end of the country. So, they decide to send him to Sandipani Buddha Ashram. Actually, Vasudeva, when he says that, you should go to a Gurukul and learn from a Guru. Krishna says, yes, I will do that. And he says, I would like to learn from Sandipani. And then they agree. And then Krishna says, that actually when I go, I will not go on a chariot. So Vasudeva says, why? You have to go such a far distance. How will you go then? He says, I will not go with a chariot with soldiers escorting. He says, why? Because, he says, I am meant to be here to protect you. And if our enemies come to know that I am not there, then they will attack. So therefore, I will go secretly. And I will go and I will come back soon. So that's why, you know, Krishna, when he's Gurukul, he has an accelerated learning course. That is a crash course. So he goes there, a super fast learning, and he comes back. But when he is away, when he's there, again at that time, now Krishna has stayed in Mathura for some time. And when he stayed in Mathura for some time, at that time, he slowly started getting acclimatized with Mathura and he started developing some affectionate relationship with the Mathura Vasis. But at the same time, now he has to go away from there also. And again, the only person with him is Balaram. So actually, throughout all of Krishna's pastimes, wherever he goes, the one person with him is Balaram. And when Krishna and Balaram go to Sandipani Muni's ashram, Amantipur, at that time, now they stay there and Sandipani Muni welcomes them. They don't tell that they are the Yaduvamshis. So just by seeing them, Sandipani Muni understands these are very special people. See, when Krishna is manifest in this world, he doesn't always manifest his Godhood. He is God, but he conceals his Godhood. So that love can reign supreme. Krishna is not a God who wants to delight. I am God, everyone bow down to me. Krishna wants to reciprocate love. And he, for the reciprocation of love, he subordinates his divinity. We'll talk about Krishna's, how Krishna manifests himself in Vrindavan and in this world. It's an elaborate subject which we will discuss later. But the point here is that Krishna does not
manifest as God. Suddenly Panimuji thinks this is a special person. Very effulgent, attractive child. Both of them are so attractive. So Krishna and Balaram start staying in the Gurukul. And while they are staying in the Gurukul, at that time, again, in the daytime they go on to do activities. But at night time, again, Krishna very fervently remembers Vrindavan. And when he remembers Vrindavan, again it is Balaram who offers him a shoulder. They hug each other and they cry and they remember Vrindavan. Throughout it all, Balaram is... So everything for Krishna is just 10-11 year old child. And for him, everything is changing. But the one thing constant in his life is Balaram. Balaram is the one constant, one fixture in Krishna's life. As everything around him goes around, being in a state of great emotional turbulence, Krishna finds shelter in his relationship with Balaram. And this Balaram acts in the role of an elder brother. In Ramlila also, Lakshman is constantly there with Ram. But most of the times, it is Lakshman who is emotional and Ram has to calm him down. Lakshman gets angry and Ram has to calm him down. So because Ram is the elder brother over there. But when it comes to in the Krishna Balaram Leela, actually Balaram is the elder brother, and when Krishna becomes very disconsolate in separation from Vrindavan, it is Balaram who consoles him. And then after the Gurukul, actually I am going quite fast. We'll see in future classes, we'll discuss more about this. They are focusing on Balaram in this class. So we'll not go into other pastimes. When Krishna and Balaram come back after their Gurukul. Now, at that time, they decide that just before they are going, they do a thread ceremony. A thread ceremony is done by Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, all three of them. So now, at that time, now if a thread ceremony is, although Krishna is staying in Dwarka, sorry, in Mathura at this stage, then the Maharaj still thinks that Krishna is my son. Krishna is my son. So when Krishna is going to perform his thread ceremony, at that time, if Krishna performs his thread ceremony in the presence of his Kshatriya father, then it is as if he is accepting that I am a Kshatriya. If he accepts his thread ceremony in the presence of a Vaishya father, he is accepting that I am a Vaishya. That means, I am Nanda Maharaj is my father. So when they are going to perform his thread ceremony, Krishna thinks what to do. And he asks Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram confer, and then Krishna sends a message. He says, actually, my heart is in Vrindavan. And I would love to have the thread ceremony performed with you, acting as my father. But for the sake of our duty, I have to do this. So what you do, he says, is that you perform an identical thread ceremony at the same time in Vrindavan. And I will be present in your heart at that time. And thus, I will be initiated by you. Initiated as your son, the thread ceremony. So after that, in this way, Krishna and Balaram, they are always there. It's like their bodies are in Mathura, but their hearts are in Vrindavan. And as this goes on more and more, then eventually, at one time, Balaram gets angry with Krishna. Krishna, you told the Rajavasis that you will come back soon. Such a long time has passed and you have still not gone back. When are you planning to go back? So Krishna says, you know, I would have gone back long ago. But I am just not allowed to go back. He says, and Nanda Maharaj has bound me in two ways, by his love and by his words. He says, by his love, I am bound to him and I long to go back to him. But by his words, he has told me, obey Vasudeva, he is your father. And he says, I will not get permission from them to go back to Vrindavan. So what should I do? So Balaram says, what you can't do, I will do. So he says, I will go to Vrindavan. He says, you may have Balaram is actually angry with Krishna. He says, you may have a stone heart and you may not feel for the Vrajavasis, but I long for them, I will go to them. And Krishna says, yes, very good, you should go. You should go to Vrindavan. And he says, it's quite likely that you will get the permission. because they know that from childhood Balram knew that I am a Yadu. Balram knew that I am a son of Vasudev, I am a son of Rohini. So they did not have so much insecurity of Balram going there and Yadgatvan and Yavartante happening.
Balram went to Rudavan and never coming back.
They did not have that fear. So when Balram said this to Vasudev and Devaki, now Vasudev and Devaki also, they were also in a delicate situation. They knew that, you know, suppose a child is demanding something, you cannot say completely no to it. So you have to do some, allow something, not allow something. So they thought this is a safe thing. At least Krishna is not asking to go to Vrindavan. So they said, Balram, you go back to Vrindavan. So now before this, what happens is, Krishna sends Uddhava to Vrindavan. And he also says, I am going to come soon. I'll come soon, and that's a very beautiful pastime of Uddhava and Vrindavan. But then after that, Krishna says, I am thinking of sending some messenger again to Vrindavan because I have not gone for so long. So then at that time, he turns to Uddhava and he says, last time only when I got so much flack. And I said, you're going to come soon, and if you don't come soon, I'll get beaten there now. Of course, nobody will beat him, but that's his feeling. He says, I promised them, Uddhava is saying this, I promised them that you will come soon. And now if I go and tell them, give them the same promise, you will come soon, they are not going to accept it. So at that time when Balram says, I'll go, he says, yes. Oh Balram, if you go, you are my elder brother. And if you are going and you are giving your word, then they will take it very seriously. They will know that I must honor your word. And I will surely come back to Vrindavan. And then Balramji goes on behalf of Krishna to Vrindavan. And when he goes to Vrindavan, the Vrijvasis are delighted to see him. And Yashoda Mainanda Maharaj, they cry tears, ocean of tears practically, on seeing Balram. They embrace him and they bless him. And then Balram performs various pastimes with all the Vrijvasis, fulfilling their hearts. And there are two kinds of bhakti. There is viyoga and there is sanyoga. And there is union and there is separation. So now love in separation is said to be higher than love in union. So the gopis have been experiencing love in separation for so long. And when they see Krishna, actually Balram has his gopis and Krishna has his gopis also. So Balram performs Leela with his gopis, and Krishna's gopis, when they see this, they remember Krishna. And the remembrance of Krishna gets stimulated further. And although they are separated, they also feel some level of union with Krishna. So Balram goes on behalf of Krishna and fulfills both, serves both the devotees, his own associates, and the associates of Krishna also he serves. And in that way, Balram performs various services, especially. So what I told till now, how Krishna helped Balram remember Vrindavan outside of Vrindavan. Constantly talking about him and giving ideas of how to stay connected with Vrajvasis. And how to keep the hearts tuned together. But here when he comes back, at this particular point, what he does is, he assists his devotees. So one role is to help Krishna remember Vrindavan outside Vrindavan. The other role is to help the Vrajvasis remember Krishna when Krishna is outside of Vrindavan. So he does both. And this is actually the role of the spiritual master also. The spiritual master reminds us of Krishna. And the spiritual master reminds Krishna of us.
Now what do we mean reminds Krishna of us? Krishna doesn't need to be reminded of us. Krishna always is there in our heart. And Krishna is very close to us. But when the spiritual master reminds us of Krishna, that's clear enough. You know, he does Krishna Katha and he gives us the instructions about how to practice bhakti. He reminds us of Krishna. But when you say he reminds Krishna of us, that means that he actually appeals to Krishna on our behalf. The spiritual master prays to Krishna. And there is remembrance and there are various levels of remembrance. So when somebody who loves Krishna very much and they pray to Krishna on our behalf, then that prayer has a special intimacy that brings greater proximity. So Balramji plays this role of the Vaya Media. Just as he plays the role of the Vaya Media between Krishna and the Vrajavasis, similarly he plays the role of the Vaya Media between the conditioned souls, the sadhakas and Krishna.
And Balram, he is inconceivable in his actions. Sometimes he gets angry, sometimes he acts in various ways, but all of them are meant to enhance his service to Krishna in various flavors. So one of the ways he serves Krishna is in Viparit Rasa. Viparit Rasa means that this is not one of the 12 rasas, but this is just an emotional flavor. That God, when he wants to do something, no one can stop him from doing it. He's omnipotent. But in his Leela, he would like sometimes somebody to stop him. And then he overcomes that opposition. So that is not so much in the Vraja Leela, but that is in the Mahabharata Leela. That Balram plays the role of obstructing Krishna. How does he do that? He becomes the guru of Duryodhana. So, he becomes the guru of Duryodhana not because Duryodhana has any special qualification. He becomes the guru of Duryodhana because that is one way in which he can serve Krishna. That is, now Krishna wants to perform his pastimes and he in one sense trains the opponent of Krishna's devotee so that there can be a bigger fight. So there can be more exciting fight. So that is also one extraordinary way in which Balram serves Krishna. And overall, the role of Balramji is to keep devotion alive in separation. You know, he keeps Krishna, the attraction to Krishna. The Vrajavasis, the flames burning and burning. And similarly, even the Vrajavasis remember Krishna in separation. So now, love in separation, as I said, is supposed to be higher than love in union. So it is, how is it like that? See, love is like a fire. And separation is like a wind. So, when there is a big fire, say there is a forest fire, and then the wind blows, the wind spreads the fire. And the fire becomes bigger and bigger because of the wind. So like that, for both Krishna and for the Vrajavasis, when there is separation from Krishna, when there is separation from each other, that separation acts like the wind that causes the fire to become bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, this is not the only possibility. If the fire is not a forest fire, if the fire is a candle, and if wind blows at that time, the candle will get extinguished. So, you know, we should not think. Love in separation is higher than love in union. So I will not go to the temple, I will stay away from the temple. I will stay away from association, maybe my love will increase in separation. No, our love is like a candle actually. So when there is separation, then it will get extinguished. We see that if we don't associate with devotees regularly, if we don't come in a Krishna conscious atmosphere, our bhakti becomes very dry and weak. Then we just start doing rituals. If we don't hear Krishna Katha regularly, even if we do our japa, we chant our rounds, but what we do is, you know, we take out, sometimes we're chanting and we take out the beads. How many beads are remaining? So 108 beads seems like 1008 beads. It's not getting over only. So we need association, we need inspiration, we need to hear about Krishna's glories. Then we can practice bhakti. So Balramji, it is by his mercy that we get the opportunities to hear about Krishna, to kindle our flame of bhakti. And on this day of Balram Jayanti, you know, Balramji is giving us mercy throughout the year by giving us facilities to remember Krishna, facilities to serve Krishna. And on this particular day, when he has appeared in this world as a precursor to the appearance of Krishna, you know, just as he appeared in this world to pave the way for the appearance of Krishna. That's a whole different story about how Devaki's womb. He appeared 7th and then, it was 8th. 8th was Krishna appeared. We will discuss that later. But the point is, just as he prepared the womb for Krishna to appear. So he appears in this world to prepare the world for the appearance of Krishna. And similarly, on this day, we can pray that he prepares our heart for the appearance of Krishna. Not just in terms of preparing our consciousness for Janmashtami, but actually making our heart more receptive for Krishna. And
in this, I'll conclude with one point that actually, when we practice bhakti, our willingness is more important than our willpower. Our willpower refers to what we are able to do. Our willingness refers to what we want to do. What we want to do, it is often that we may not be able to do it. Now, we may want to do various activities in our life. We may want to do more bhakti, do more seva. But it may not just be possible for us. So, we sometimes when the situation doesn't allow us to do some things, we become disheartened and we let our desire also become weak. So, but if no matter what the circumstances, even if we are not able to do something, if we let our desire stay strong, okay, I'm not able to do, I want to study scripture regularly, I want to do service, I want to tell about Krishna to others, but I don't have time, I don't have this, I don't have that. All these problems are there. But rather, the problems may take away the facility, but the problems don't have to take away the desire. If we preserve the desire to serve Krishna in whatever situation we are in, then Krishna will arrange the situation for us. He will change the circumstances so that we will be able to serve Him better. And Balaramji is the person who actually kindles the bhakti desire within us. And it is He whom we can pray. We all have various difficulties, not just in practicing our spiritual life, but even living in the material world. There are always many, many difficulties in life. So we need strength to persevere. And actually speaking, we never lose till we lose hope. We never lose till we lose hope. And that perennial hopefulness can come from Balaramji. When we understand that He is the eternal spiritual master and He is always there to help us in various ways. When He is there, we know that He is there in so many different ways to help us. Rather than when we see that something is not working, often our attitude is, oh, why is this not working? Why is this not working? Why is this not working? And our resentment of reality hurts more than reality. Our resentment of reality hurts more than reality. Suppose I wanted to go somewhere, maybe I wanted to go for a yatra. And just before the yatra, I get flu and fall sick. And then maybe all other devotees in my group are going for a yatra. Are they going for something which is very relishable? And I am lying in a sick bed, not doing anything. Now actually, yes, it's troublesome. It's distressing. But sickness, it's not a, apart from the physical exhaustion and maybe some fever, sickness is not a normal flu, it's not constantly a pain. But if we are constantly, why could I not go? Then that resentment hurts more than the disease. So like that, we will see that quite often in our life, we all have problems. The reality of this world is there are problems, but the resentment of reality hurts often much more than reality. And if we understand that the Lord is there in our heart and the Lord appreciates our desire, the Lord appreciates our intention, He values our intention and He rewards our intention also. That knowledge, that remembrance that Krishna doesn't just look for our actions. He also looks more important for intentions. That remembrance, we have heard this many times, but that remembrance comes by the grace of Balaramji. So when circumstances thwart us, at that time we may not have the power to change them, but we have the power to maintain our intentions, to maintain our determination, to not lose hope. And that comes, that grace comes by that remembrance comes by the grace of Balaramji. So, we can pray to Balaramji that please, no matter what happens, give me the strength to move onwards in bhakti. He is the person who gives us the strength to find pleasure. So, often we think the pleasure comes in doing particular activities. Even in bhakti, we think, oh, I have to distribute so many books, I have to raise so much funds, I have to do this, do that. It's all good if we can do it. But actually, the most important thing is not doing the service. The most important thing is remembering Krishna. And we can remember Krishna irrespective of what our externals are. And that strength to remember Krishna, that comes from Balaramji. So, sometimes we pray to, sometimes some devotees, I'll conclude with this point now,
okay.
That sometimes some devotees feel that if I pray to Krishna, that some problem should be solved. And then if that problem is not solved, then I lose my faith in Krishna. So maybe I should not pray for the solution of problems. Or sometimes you may think that if I have a problem, if I pray that the problem be solved, then maybe I am not praying purely, I am not a pure devotee. So maybe I'll not ask Krishna about any problem solving. But then the point is that rather than seeing prayer as a give and take, we see prayer as a form of relationship.
No.
We see praying as a way of relating with Krishna. Suppose we have a problem, sometimes there's a big burden on our heart, we share it with someone. At that time, that person may not be able to solve the problem, but just the fact that the person heard us out, we feel unburdened by that. So we see prayer more as a way of connecting our heart with Krishna. And then at the end, we leave it to Krishna. Krishna, whether this problem is solved or not, please give me the strength to serve. And Prabhupada was asked once, what is the best prayer that you can offer? And Prabhupada said, pray to Krishna, give me the strength to serve you. Give me the strength to serve you. Whatever happens in my life, if I have the strength to serve you, I can move onwards. And that strength comes from Balaramji. So we can pray to him, go Balaramji, please give me the strength to always go on, no matter whatever happens in my life. I'll quickly summarize. I started by talking about how knowledge of God does not automatically bring devotion to God. But knowledge helps us to practice the process by which we can get devotion to God. And the bhakti tradition gives us so much rich knowledge about God. And we should, bhakti is not, this knowledge is not sectarian. Are we interested in knowledge or are we interested in knowledge? So the various traditions are meant to help us be knowledge about God. And what does bhakti tradition tell us? That God has his whole family and he has all his whole kingdom and he does so many details about him. And when we discussed about the various ways in which Balaram serves Krishna, the one I focused on is how he helps Krishna remember Vrindavan outside of Vrindavan. He acts as the guru for the conditioned souls, for all of us. And for Krishna, he acts as a link between him and Vrindavan. We discussed when they were separate, he's just leaving Vrindavan, coming to Mathura, in Mathura, and then going from Mathura to Dwarka, to Avanti and coming back. And then eventually Balaram going back to Vrindavan. Through it all, he was actually acting as a link between Krishna and the Vrajavasis. And similarly, the spiritual master also acts as a link between us and Krishna. He reminds us of Krishna and he reminds Krishna about us. That means he petitions Krishna on our behalf. And that Balaramji, we can pray to him to give us the strength to serve him always. We may not have the willpower to do some things internally, or we may not have the power to do things externally also. But still, we should not lose our willingness. This is what I want to do. Krishna, please give me the strength to serve. And if we have that, by Balaram's mercy, we will keep marching ahead. This was Balaramji prepared the heart for Krishna to, prepared Devaki's womb for Krishna to manifest. Similarly, Balaramji will prepare for in our heart for Krishna to manifest. Thank you very much. Shri Balaram Ji ki
Jai.
Balaram Ji ki Maha Mahotsav ki
Jai.
Shri Prabhupad ki
Jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vind ki
Jai.
Dai Gaur Premana
Hare Krishna.